Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast.
For the 2025 season, we have seven amazing productions taking place in our Springer and Fire Hall theaters.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front row seat.
See you at the theater.
Welcome back to the 2025 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples, and we are recording on-site at our fabulous production facility. My name is Allison Hess, and I'm the Education and Engagement Manager.
And I am Stephanie Graham, and I am the Artistic Associate here at the Playhouse. For our sixth episode of the 2025 season of the Playhouse Podcast, we are talking about the laugh-out-loud funny production of 9 to 5 The Musical. Pushed to the boiling point, three co-workers, Violet, Judy, and Doralee, concoct a plan to kidnap and turn the tables on the egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot they call their boss. Will the girls manage to reform the office, or will events unravel when the CEO pays an unexpected visit? Inspired by the cult film and brought to you by Dolly herself, this hilarious musical is about teaming up, standing up, and taking care of business.
And we are lucky to have in studio the music director and band leader of this toe-tapping party, Sarah Richardson.
Hello.
Welcome, Sarah. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And thank you for joining us. We're actually recording after a long day of rehearsal because...
and a production meeting.
And an early production meeting because there is so much music in this show that to get a little piece of you, we had to go off hours. So thank you for taking the time to
Of course. Thank you for asking me.
So Sarah, you've worked extensively as a performer, a musician, arranger, band leader, musical director, including working as music director for multiple productions at Neptune Theatre, as well as the associate music director for the Mervish production of Six, the musical. And you're also one of the founding members of Whale Song Theatre in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Yes.
Which is so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, all of those things are true.
Since we're talking about it, we mentioned Whale Song. Could you tell us a bit about Whale Song Theatre and like how it began?
Whale Song is a profit share. It's a small independent company in Halifax. There's not a lot of musicals that happen in Halifax outside of Neptune, and we decided that we would like to be a small independent musical company. We have done straight plays as well, but musicals are sort of our feature. It's comprised of myself and Ian Gilmore and Laura Thornton, all Halifax artists. There was a community theater in the Halifax area that had asked Laura to direct a show, and she asked Ian and I to come on board as choreographer and musical director, respectively. And we worked so well together that we decided to form our own company. And we've done probably about a dozen productions underneath the umbrella of Whale Song.
Yeah. I think it's so empowering as artists to be able to make those creative decisions yourself and forming a company, as much as that is daunting, trying to get funding and all the organizational parts of becoming your own producers. But I really think it's empowering. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, we love building our own things. It comes with its own challenges, but it also comes with its own rewards.
Jumping to another area that you are fabulous in, Sarah, you're a multi-instrumentalist.
I am, yeah.
Can you tell us what instruments you play?
Yes, I started with piano when I was 5. Over the years, I've picked up quite a few more. Accordion is another favorite. Flute, viola, bass, and I can do some basic drums.
What's your favorite?
The accordion has weirdly become my favorite. It's such a niche little instrument, but I kind of love it. And I don't get a chance to play it a lot, but I have played it in a few productions and a few workshops. So it's been super fun. And I'll get to play it again on Come From Away.
And Come From Away will be at the Grand Theatre in London next year.
Yep.
Well, speaking of starting to work on a new production, you've already been here for about a week and a half, but could you talk us through when you're starting work on a new production? What's your process as a music director?
It's weirdly extensive and more administrative than you would think. We ultimately have auditions, and director, choreographer, and musical director work together in order to cast the show. Once the cast is complete, I start working on something called voicing, which is basically deciding how many people I'm going to have on different lines, soprano, alto tenor bass. I like to make sure the sound is really well balanced and blended, so that makes a difference. I really think about whose voices I have in the process and what's going to complement each other. Ultimately, once I make those decisions, I start the administrative process. What I do is I create an Excel spreadsheet for the sound team. So ultimately, bar by bar, they know who's singing which parts, so they can balance their mix really well, and that helps them balance the show. Then I start reaching out to the band. I start going through the soundtrack and the books, which is the books are the different instrumentation, so the different instrument that we have in the particular show that we're in. Most theaters have to sort of condense down how many musicians they can use. So I decide based on the soundtrack what I want the show sound to be. So for this show, we have piano, bass, drums, guitars, and trumpet, because there's a lot of brass in this show. So it's very exciting to get that in there. And then once I have them hired, I start dealing with scheduling around the band rehearsals. It gets scheduled around the cast rehearsals, which band rehearsals start tomorrow.
And I would say then once you're in rehearsals, can you talk us through all the sort of like aspects of being a music director?
Yeah. So ultimately, I teach all like every note off the page to everybody in the cast. I'm also the rehearsal pianist and vocal coach. And so ultimately, my job as musical director is to like build the sound and the story of the show through the music. So dynamics and riffs go through me as well, and just the full sort of vibe and sound and emotional content of what the show is within the music. And then that's a conversation that I also have with Julie as the director to figure out what we want, the arcs that we want to build within these pieces of music to build out of what the scenes are and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
And I know with 9 to 5, and there are many musicals like this, that sometimes what you're hearing on the soundtrack from the Broadway or the London cast is not necessarily what we will play, even in just in terms of song selections, because stuff gets added, stuff gets cut. Or is that part of the conversation as well?
I know that there are songs that have been in productions. Like I know in 9 to 5, there's a song that Hart sings that is no longer in the show. I don't put things back because licensing is what it is.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of a wiggle room, but give or take, I like to stay true to what they decided the final arrangements were going to be. And what ultimately, there are people who made these decisions, composers made these decisions, arrangers made these decisions after many, many workshops. And so they have figured out what works. And I love just leading with that.
Yeah. And I think so often we think of a show, especially something that, you know, was on Broadway, as this like package where it's like, this is what it is and it's what it always has been. But it's not true. Things grow and change, which is really cool.
And a testament to the writers too, to keep wanting to workshop their piece. And, and, you know, Broadway may not be the final product. Actually, it might be they keep moving and they keep changing and refining.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like it becomes its own organic vessel in itself. Like everybody tells a new version of it every time. So our version will be very different than another version that you've seen. And so I just think there's such a beauty in that, in the fact that every company has a unique experience and a unique story to tell, even though it's the same script and the same music. It's just everybody gets a chance to put their own stamp on it and build something beautiful.
And speaking of that, you have actually music directed 9 to 5 before.
I have.
And so we had a little sneak peek of some of the vocal harmonies, and my gosh, this cast is stellar.
We have got a stacked team.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so like, how has it been working with this music that you're familiar with this new group of performers?
It's kind of interesting because coming back to it, I was like, you think Dolly Parton is, you know, she's country. You think that's relatively simple, like 3-4 chord songs. And like, there are some songs like Backwoods Barbie. It's very like straightforward and to the point, like full out OG Dolly. Then there's these other songs that are just like, it makes sense when you know Dolly Parton as an artist. And it's just these elaborate, beautiful stories of joy and hope that like, I think she emanates herself. And so it's really interesting coming back to the show. Julie said it on the first day, the story is still so relevant. There's still institutionalized misogyny. There's still a glass ceiling. And the story needs to keep being told until we don't have to tell it anymore. There's such a strength in it. And the fact that it's a female creative team, like it's such an interesting experience to be in that. It's a big story and it's an important story. And I'm glad to be getting a chance to tell it again.
And I think so many people underestimate Dolly Parton yeah. like generally. So to hear you talk about how the how complicated the music is, and again, how deep this story is, but how much she developed the show and wrote all the music for the musicalized version of the film. And I think it mirrors who she is with the themes of the show. I think we always need to ask, what would Dolly do?
Really? Truly?
What would ask yourself, what would Dolly do in this situation?
Yeah.
Speaking of Dolly, what's your favorite Dolly Parton song?
Oh my gosh. There's two songs. Like, honestly, I just might. It's heart-wrenching. It's such a song of hope and resilience and strength. And it basically like says, no matter what's put in front of you, you can get through it. The harmonies in that song are lush and gorgeous. And there's just something about it that is just like so beautiful and empowering. And then the other song is in the show too, which you guys got a sneak peek of today, called Change It. And it's the same sort of vibe. It's a song of empowerment and hope and strength, and you can change the world. You just have to think and believe and go. And I just love both of those songs for that reason.
And just because our podcast listeners might not know, these are not pre-existing songs from Dolly's catalog. She actually wrote new songs to service.
Yes, absolutely. 9 to 5 will likely be the only song you do know from the show, because everything was written originally for this piece. It's just brilliant music. I'm so excited to share it.
It's always fun to be like a little bit of like an upbeat party, you know, saying like joy and and hope and like all of these really uplifting emotions. And I think as the weather gets colder and it gets a little cozier, it's so nice to come into a space and share that with 300 other people.
Yeah.
Now your title in this production is music director and band leader.
Yeah.
And I'd love for you to talk a bit about how you view those two roles, because I think often music directors are band leaders, but not often are they given that title.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately a musical director, we talked about it before, you know, we're responsible for assisting with the casting, for vocal arranging, for teaching the music to the cast, for, you know, choosing the direction of the sound of the show. And their responsibility, often musical directors are band leaders as well. And so it is their responsibility to keep the show both vocally and instrumentally consistent. I also personally believe that my job as a music director is to make sure that when my cast is on stage, they feel confident, they feel secure, they feel safe. And I feel like that is part of my job, to have a conversation with the other teams, like the sound team, so they understand each other's needs and wants on that stage so we can produce the best work possible. Band leader, there are a lot of shows. I know quite a few MDs who will set a show up and then have to leave because they have to go to another contract. Right. So often you'll put a band leader in place in that position. So they will run the music of the band, and then stage management will make sure the show stays on the rails. Whereas when the MD stays, the MD and stage manager both make sure the show stays on the rails. There are positions where band leaders will come in and take over the music portion of things while the MD moves on to the next thing that they're doing. I do feel like the two positions go hand in hand, but they're two very different skill sets. Not every MD is comfortable leading a band, and not every band leader is comfortable musical directing. I love doing both. I love leading a band. There's something about just like grooving with instrumentalists that make me so happy. But then there's something about listening and teaching all those voices and getting all of that vocalization out there that also brings me like such joy. I just think it's two different skill sets, and I think they both deserve to be honored in their own way. So that's just why I like both titles.
When you talked about working on a new production and some of the steps you go through, and one of those is looking at, as you said, like the breakdown of the voices. And as we also said, you're also an arranger in your own right. How did those ways of looking at music intersect between like working with the artists and the actors and the big picture thinking in terms of arrangement and sound?
I think it's a benefit to be an arranger. Like, you don't have to be, obviously, but I think the fact that I am one, it's like it benefits me because I can mentally hear what things are supposed to sound like and what lines need to be brought out or how to reinterpret or re-envision what it's going to be, so the swell of all of it builds in a way that I want and the emotion of the song comes out.
Yeah, so I guess you're looking at, say, something with 4-part harmony and someone might be like, okay, well, the sopranos will have the melody and the melody is the important line, but like maybe it's not in a moment. Right. And so you're able to hear that and see that and then be like, okay, we're actually going to put more people on like the second line because we want to bring that out for this moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. It's like painting, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's an ebb and flow to everything. And I feel like my knowledge of arranging aids my skill set of musical directing.
Yeah, you're not just plunking out notes, but you're painting a picture with these voices. That's so cool. Yeah.
And I'm exhausted just listening to Sarah because there's so many jobs that she does in this role. role, but you're also a vocalist and a performer in your own right. And so can you talk a bit about how your performing informs your musical directing and vice versa?
Yeah, I find my experience as a musical director definitely informs my approach to performing because I understand the process in a way that might be a little different than the average person, especially since I read music too. Not every theater performer reads, and you don't have to. I think it informs how I perform because I understand the expectation, but more so, I think my experience as a performer informs my musical direction because I know the language of performance. I can understand the feeling and the storytelling in music, and my instincts are often the same as other performers' instincts, so I can work with the ebb and the flow. Like, this makes sense to have a moment of stretch, and then in we go. And I feel that because I'm a performer, I can speak the same language as other performers when I'm playing piano with them or when I'm musically directing them. So it becomes less of a, like, I teach it, you do it, versus it's more collaborative. And I think because I am a performer as well, that definitely leads to how I work with other artists.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I've definitely worked with directors. There's this extra barrier to connecting because the way that they produce music or the way that they see music is different than the way the singers do. I also imagine as band leader, having that experience as a performer, as a singer, because it is live theater and you never know what's going to happen day to day, and being able to work with the performers on the stage in that moment as well, even if something might happen, right? To have that flexibility and to understand where that singer might go, I imagine would be so useful in the moment.
I mean, it sort of speaks to the thing that I said before about making sure that, like, the companies feel safe and secure and confident out there so they can give the best performance they can give. I feel like my job also is you catch people when they fall. I find sometimes there's a regimentedness that's starting to fall into musical theater that is sometimes a really amazing benefit, but sometimes when mistakes get made, there's no room for error. And people are human. We're all out there just humaning. We're all out there doing our best. Sometimes we make mistakes, you know? We got to be able to support each other.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some more modern shows are now so regimented because they're on a click. Mm-hmm. And for our audiences, understanding that there might be a tempo click or an extra instrumentation that gets added digitally, that the band leader is tied to that timing or doesn't necessarily always allow for that breath.
Mm-hmm. There is an amazing opportunity with those orchestrations and with those, they're called sweeteners sometimes in some instrumentation, to build that extra stuff when you don't have the instrumentalist that you need. But then there is also the negative side of that where you're stuck. Like, there's no catching it. You either turn it off and go, or you just hope that that artist finds their way back.
Awesome. I mean, I could talk about music and the intricacies of arranging in harmonies and things.
Oh, I'm such a nerd. Oh, I was talking about this today with one of the company members about the fact that I can nerd out on this stuff for hours. Like, I love it.
Is this your first time in Gananoque?
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's been super fun here. I'm living so close to the theater, which is great. Your rehearsal space is amazing.
Yes, like, and for our listeners, we have a brand new rehearsal space at our production facility this year, which is bigger and better, and we can accommodate all our sets in there now, which is fantastic.
It's divine.
What places in town have you had the time to check out? Like, have you checked out any of the restaurants or bars or anything downtown?
Monday was gorgeous, and I went down and spent some time on the dock. I went for a swim. I laid out in the sun. It was great. It was gorgeous. We just had two company members' birthdays, so we went to the Purple House and had pizza.
Shout out for pizza.
Which is great. Yeah, great. And then I know once the show gets open, I'll have more time to actually explore and take stuff in. And I'm really excited about that because usually when I get to a city or a town, my first day there, I like to just walk and figure out, like, where everything is and just, like, take it all in. But I arrived and then we started. I was like, I didn't get a chance to take anything in yet. So I'm looking forward to when I actually get a little time back to actually experiencing all the things there is to offer here.
Thank you. This is great. I know, again, I could nerd out for forever, but anyways.
Thank you so much for being here, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure. Thank you so much for asking me.
Thank you, as always, to Mark Hunt for composing the music for the Playhouse podcast. For more ticket information, please visit us at thousandislandsplayhouse.com.
See you at the theater.